The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 25th through Sunday, May 31st, 2026. The commentary for May was written by Porter Taylor, a lifelong Episcopalian who served as the sixth Bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina. He is the author of three books, including his latest, Are You Persuaded? In and Out of Being a Bishop. He is married to Joe, and they live in Asheville, North Carolina. The commentary for Monday, May 25th, begins as follows. It is from a passage from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. And it is on this Monday, May 25th, that we celebrate and commemorate St. Bede. Now here's the commentary for today. One of the most renowned writers of the early Middle Ages, Bede, was a monk, historian, and teacher. He wrote more than 60 books, including the Ecclesiastical History of the English People, a seminal work that detailed every English Christianity. I had the honor of teaching junior and senior high students, as well as courses at colleges and, on occasion, seminaries. While I worked very hard preparing for classes, I also know that the heart of teaching is that magical moment when someone discovers a new way of seeing the world and themselves. One year I was teaching high school English, and we were studying Thomas Hardy's novel, The Test of the D'Urbervilles. I saw a student crying in the parking lot, and when I asked her what was wrong, she held up the novel and said, "It's this book. It had changed her." The same happens with the stories of the Bible. Yes, there's history and poetry and theology, but it's also a map pointing us toward a new way of seeing, showing us the way. And now I'm going to read from this full passage from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine and not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than the divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they are making assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it legitimately. This means understanding that the law is laid down not for the innocent, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the godless and sinful, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their father or mother, for murderers, fornicators, sodomites, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching. that conforms to glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 25th, when has a teacher helped you see a new way? Now the commentary for Tuesday, May 26, the day on which we celebrate and commemorate Augustine of Canterbury. It begins with a passage from Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 15, verse 32b to 33. Those who need admonition gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor. A spiritual director once said to me words I needed to hear, but I didn't want to. At some point, success has nothing to teach you. I had heard similar advice from my mother when I received my doctorate in literature and theology. She looked at my diploma and wryly said, "Won't it be wonderful to have another diploma for your wall?" Over the years, I have come to realize how little control I have in this world. Part of this learning has come from my experience in AA, and the other part from life in general. I need to remember God is the creator and the sustainer and the transformer, and I am not. As the proverb says, humility goes before honor. The older I get, the more I am aware of and thankful for God's grace. And now I am going to read from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 16 through 33. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it. Those who are hot-tempered stir up strife, but those who are slow to anger calm contention. The way of the lazy is overgrown with thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. A wise child makes a glad father, but the foolish despise their mothers. Folly is a joy to one who has no sense, but a person of understanding walks straight ahead. Without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisers, they succeed. To make an apt answer is a joy to anyone, and a word in season, how good it is. For the wise, the path of life leads upward, in order to avoid Sheol below. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Those who are greedy for unjust gain make trouble for their households, but those who hate bribes will live. The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the body. The ear that heeds wholesome admonition will lodge among the wise. Those who ignore instruction despise themselves, but those who need admonition gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, when have you experienced the grace of humility? The commentary for Wednesday, May 27th, begins with another passage from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. One who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend. The Lord's Prayer offers the words, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Even on the cross, some of Jesus' last words were about forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And, of course, in this century, Archbishop Desmond Tutu not only wrote his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, but he also showed a country and a world, by word and deed, the importance of forgiveness as part of reconciliation. One of the 12 steps of the AA calls for people to make amends to those who have been treated badly, which involves asking for forgiveness. But, of course, there's another side. We must forgive as we are forgiven. My experience is that this means seeing the other person as more than someone who has treated us wrongly. It means we see the other as God's beloved, inviting them to let go of their past, just as we commit to letting go of the hurt, so that together we can walk into the future. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for this day, which is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 50. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place, but it finds none. Then it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." When it comes, it finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings along 7 other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and live there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So will it be also with this evil generation. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, today might be a good time to offer and ask for forgiveness. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, May 28th, the date on which we commemorate Mechtil of Magdeburg. It begins with a passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16a. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. About a month after I was elected bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina, a member of the presiding bishop's staff visited my wife and me. He handed me a notebook full of upcoming events scheduled. I asked, "What is this?" And he answered, "It's your new life." As the diocesan bishop for 12 years, I traveled around the globe, England, India, South America, Scotland, Taiwan, and all over the United States. I met wonderful people, and I was honored to be in this office. However, at some point, I could not be my true self. It was indeed a noble task, as Timothy writes in chapter 3, but for me it became too much. In the ordination service for a bishop, the question is asked, are you persuaded that God has called you to the office of bishop? More than a decade later, I had to answer, no, I am no longer persuaded. And now I'm going to read from this passage of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by God's word and by prayer. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, have you taken on something that is no longer what you believe God wants you to do? How can you make plans to change that situation? The commentary for Friday, May 29th, begins with a passage from Psalm 31, verse 5a. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Ember days occur four times a year on the Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays after the first Sunday in Lent, the day of Pentecost, Holy Cross Day, and December 13th. The name ember comes from the Latin title quator tempora, meaning four times. The Book of Common Prayer offers various prayers especially suitable for ember days. Each prayer is a clear statement that those who are going out to be instruments of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit are called by God that they may faithfully serve God. We are all called to be instruments of God's love, and Ember Days are intended to remind us of our calling. Without God, we can do nothing. But with and through God, anything can happen. The Church reminds her people of this at least four times a year during Ember Days. It would behoove us to remember this every day. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. And the moving forward question for this Friday is a simple one. What is your calling? The commentary for Saturday, May 30th, begins with a passage from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12b. Take hold of the eternal life. Sometimes we get lost in a capitalistic economy. Our temptation is to think we are what we do, what people say about us, or what we own. We become seduced by power, prestige, and possessions. However, Timothy reminds us that those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires. I confess that I have often forgotten this, especially when I was an active diocesan bishop. Living in a for-profit culture insists upon tangible results. How many new parishes have begun during episcopacy? How many parishes give their expected diocesan tithe? Has the diocesan debt decreased? Grace, and sometimes loss, moves me from that false sense of identity. When my wife and I adopted two children, we gave thanks over and over again, thankful for the amazing grace of God. Likewise, when my father died, I was reminded of what matters and what doesn't. My sense is that this is what Timothy means by taking hold of the eternal life to which we are called. Now I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 21. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And now the moving forward question for this Saturday. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to let go of so that you might take hold of the eternal life to which you are called? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's turn to Sunday, May 31st, the day on which we celebrate Trinity Sunday. It begins with a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Some of us may be tempted to see the Trinity as a mystical description of God that is far beyond our understanding. But we cannot label God as a thing or an idea or merely part of a mythic story. God is just as much a verb as a noun. Indeed, I think it's impossible to define the Trinitarian God accurately with just three titles. God is certainly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we might add additional titles to help us perceive God's majesty and breadth. Sustainer, Mother, Redeemer, Lover, Beloved. The Creed of St. Athanasius asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are incomprehensible. This statement has helped me grow in my faith and realize that God's presence in our lives comes in many ways, in times of beauty and in the simple, everyday aspects of life. We cannot fully grasp God, but we can and we must give thanks for the many ways in which the divine shows up in our lives and in our world. And now I'll read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The moving forward question for this Sunday is, when have you discovered the living God as Redeemer, Creator, and Beloved? That's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world, knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.